Hello, welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And this is our very first Patreon exclusive episode. Well, it's not really an exclusive because we're giving it out for free. We want to give you a sample of the milk before we ask you to come and buy the cow. That's basically what's happening here today. And we have a couple of exciting announcements for you. So starting from February, we have the Swiftologist Patreon, which is pretty much all about the evolution of a snake at the moment, but who knows what it could become. What you're going to get on our Patreon is two episodes of the evolution of a snake, probably about an hour long per month, every month. You will also get exclusive content from the year format. So when 2016 part two comes out in, you know, the high demand that it's been in for the last couple of months, you will also get cutting room floor excerpts from that. We tend to go really long. We have to cut out a lot of stuff. So you will get a lot more snake content this year, should you like it. And we are asking only for the low, low price of $6 a month. Six doll hairs. That's it for two exclusive episodes. And if we get more money, we can make more pods. This is the thing. If we shake the cup and you fill up the cup gets bigger, the coins get bigger, you have more of a fun time. There will be other dynamic benefits that will be added in as we go over time. We're just kind of doing a trial run for it now, but we need to see the jobless show up and give us a job. That's what we need, right, Madeline? She needs to get out of the box.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. I need to get out of the box. I need a hero. And you could be that hero. For the low, low price.
You could be the one that she loves. Exactly. $6 a month and you could rescue Madeline from a literal... It's like a human rights violation, the conditions that you're working under right now.
It's kind of like if Saw was real, then that's what's going on in my life right now. I'm in a Saw box, literally.
Her boss smells the sponges to see if they've been used. That's just one example.
That's just one example, and believe me, she smells the rags, she smells the sponges, and that's just the beginning. And it's like the fumes have really gotten, they've really gotten to the old ticker. She's 70 years old. I really gotta be careful with what I say, because you never fucking know. I mean,
hopefully
by the time that she would be even experiencing this, I would be out of the box, but she's a bat, and she smells sponges. Let's leave it at that.
She is a bat, and we need to rescue you from the bat cave. And we're gonna, because this is going to happen. Now, so we have a couple of little fun things to do. We have a new format that we're gonna do for our Patreon exclusive episodes with a couple of different segments that will change over time. But, you know, the first kind of segment that we have is Talk Taylor to Me. And this is, you know, the current news and affairs going on in the Taylor Swift universe. And something major, well, actually, depending on who you ask, if you ask Madeline, it's not major at all. Something major just happened. It is the Lavender Haze music video. And Madeline woke up, took a sip of her Haterade, and said, I'm done.
Okay, I never said that I didn't like it. I said that, which is exactly what I expected, the song is a nothing burger, the music video is a nothing burger. Nothing happens. I mean, am I wrong? What happens in that video? What is the storyline?
Well,
tell me.
There is...
Explain it to me.
The storyline is that there is a lavender haze, and she wants to stay in it. And the lavender haze, it can be a field, it can be some smoke that comes around you, it can be a cloud in which you tuck yourself in to go to sleep. The lavender haze, like the Men in Music Business Conference, can be so many different things.
To me, it's like, I don't have a problem with this. Like, a music video, like, in and of itself is really just supposed to be vibes anyway, so I'm not saying I have a problem with it, but I do think it's really fucking hilarious. She got on her keyboard and was like, just so you guys know, I wrote this video by myself, and it's like, you wrote it.
What did you write?
fucking smoke fills the room. Okay.
I open the window and there's a koi fish staring at me.
This is the
problem with the Lavender Haze music video is that it is essentially an entire Speak Now Easter egg. It's so fucking Speak Now coded, from the koi fish to the purple everywhere. I mean, she's been screaming about Speak Now, what is it, for like three or four months at this stage, and it's starting to piss me the fuck off. How dare you keep Speak Now's name in your mouth when you have no intention of doing anything. Shit or get off the pot, bitch. Like, come on. Where is it? Give us a song. Give us a taste. Stop talking about it. And she's not even... The annoying thing is that she's not even talking about it. She's, like, being... What we're doing, how we're terrorizing our snakeologists with the Men in Music Business Conference, like, saying that something is going to happen and then not actually, like, delivering the thing that is supposed to be happening. That's what Taylor does, basically. That's her entire career. I guess we learn from the best. But I'm sick of it. I want Speak Now. I need it now. I'm sick and tired of waiting. Give me Enchanted, Taylor's version. Give me fucking Never Grow Up, Taylor's version. Something. Sign of life. Proof of life for Speak Now.
I feel the exact same way. It's to the point where it's like, I don't even... I mean, I've heard the rumor that it's supposed to come out before tour, which to me would honestly make sense. I know everybody's like, oh, that wouldn't happen. But I mean, it's like... I mean, it's possible. It's not like she has a whole lot going on other than doing tour rehearsals. So, I mean, I could see her... doing it, but the problem is that if she did, then she would literally just drop it and then it would be like it never happened, which I don't know if I'm like totally about. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see her.
If she's just gonna announce it, then we have to wait. If she's gonna do what she's been doing for the other Taylor's version, she's gonna announce it because she wants all the pre-orders and the vinyls, etc. If she does that and we have to then wait for 3 months, I'm literally going to 9/11. Glendale Farm Stadium.
Like, we had to wait for like 6 months over. For Red TV, which was ridiculous because for Fearless TV, we only had to wait a month. We literally had to wait 1 month for
really
Fearless
only a
and
month?
Six. Yeah! It was like when she announced it. It came out, what, April? She announced it in like February, March. Right?
Oh, yeah. I guess yeah. So. Well, for Red, she had to write All Too Well 10 minutes. She had to go write something.
Yes.
So
that's true.
She had to go write all that's those tracks. But I feel like, I don't know what the fucking holdup is with Speak Now. And it's like, again, I don't mind the hinting, but the hinting has to take me somewhere. And it can't be an in 3 years, I took you somewhere. No, I need to go now. I can't wait anymore. I'm sick of waiting. I'm literally sitting on a bench in Coney Island wondering where did my baby go. Like, where the fuck is my baby? Where is mine, Taylor's version? It's going to be murdered and I need to hear it. I need to be there as a witness.
I need to witness the murder. Yes, I feel the exact same way. I feel like also another one that's going to be just absolutely, completely destroyed is Sparks Fly. I don't know why I think that. I just do. I just think she's going to absolutely destroy it. And I want to be seated. I'm ready. I want to be seated.
Seated for Speak Now Massacre. We're ready. We've been ready. And, like, Speak Now has historically been very overlooked, very disrespected, very shoved down to the bottom, literally by the Queen Bee herself. So, like, it is kind of fitting that Speak Now is just getting used and abused. Taylor is literally Speak Now for clout. Like, she just wants the hype of building it up. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about the careless man's careful daughter. She's not hoping the sun shines on a beautiful day and something reminds you of she had stayed. She's over it. She is ready to move on. But... she doesn't want to give up any more of her personal life. This is another issue I'm having with Easter eggs at the moment. She doesn't want to give up anything actually, like, interesting or, like, restart any conversation. So what she's doing instead is just, like, these endless fucking boring-ass Easter eggs.
Yeah, you know, the Bejeweled video as a giant Speak Now Easter egg, that was fine. You know, it's like, okay, well, there it is. There's the Speak Now Easter egg. For it to continue is kind of mental illness. Like, I don't understand.
It is.
Like, why are we still just talking about it? Why don't we do it and talk about it less? Like, I don't... Why... Just... This... I'm...
And the koi fish motif has gone so far through. Like, literally from Antihero to Lavender Haze, it's been, like, a major visual motif. And it's like, okay,
well,
bitch. Well, then...
It's such
like,
a
what's
strange...
the connection? What's the connection between
like,
Speak Now and Midnight's? I can't see it from the material, to be honest.
No, the material's not there. There's no... let's be honest with each other here. Speak Now and Midnight's have less
in
common.
They're made by different artists.
They're made by different human beings. Let's be very clear about that. I mean, I don't even think... I mean, what's a song... I mean, I guess Would Have, Could Have, Should Have is a song that references Speak Now, obviously, but like...
But it doesn't sound anything like Speak Now.
I mean, I would argue that it's like a Dear John, like... I don't know. I think they're kind of similar, Dear John and Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda, like, in like, sonically speaking. But that's it. Like, that's literally it. Everything else is... I mean, she doesn't have a last kiss on Midnight's, I can tell you that right now. She doesn't a Sparks Fly. She doesn't have a banger. She doesn't have... You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not there. It's not there. But
the material isn't present, and that's her. That's literally her issue. And I suppose, like, it is interesting to think that she is not trying to give up any sort of insight into, like, any of the themes or the thinkings behind any of these songs. Like, the music videos have told us absolutely nothing that we didn't already know about the music. Plus, she has been completely silent about the process of making Midnights. We've had no, like, Apple Music interview. We've had no kind of, like, in-depth glimpse at what Midnights, the creation process, looked like. And I feel like she's being very removed and using the Easter eggs as a way to, like, avoid answering questions about the subject material. Because, I mean, when you put a song like Question on the album, it would behoove you to avoid answering questions about said album, because that is mental illness. So, I mean, I understand where she's coming from, but also, give it up. Give me Speak Now, or stop it. Stop it. It's hurting my feelings. It was, I thought she was really, I thought this was, for me, this was my favorite look. Like, the looks in these videos are so good, and the tea, but we've seen them all. That's the thing, like, we'd seen all the looks before the video came out. I loved the tea.
Yeah, she kind of really, like, you know, gave us the cow. She gave us the cow and the milk before, like, I literally had seen the video before I saw the video. I lost interest in it, too. Like, you know, how long ago did Midnights come out? 2 months? 3 months ago now? It's like, I don't give a shit. See? That's what happens. That's what happens when you tease too long. People just stop caring.
Well, that's the issue. And I also think that, like, I don't know. It's just been it has been a weird rollout. Like, I think that the way that it kind of was led up to, the trailer was so good, and it was so, I was so excited for all the visuals. And it's like, yeah, I mean, this is why you shouldn't give everything away in a trailer. It's like when a Real Housewives season comes out and there's, like, so much drama in the trailer, and then the season premieres and you're like, oh, so you literally took one clip from, like, two episodes and told us that this is what the entire season was going to be like.
Yeah.
It's fake news.
Yeah, the trailer, I remember being shooketh by the trailer that night when it came out. I was like, oh my god, this is going to be so good, visual album, et cetera, et cetera. Which is like, to be fair, she never said it was a visual album, we all just assumed. So, but that's on us. But like, yeah, she gave a lot away, which is like, it would have been fine if all the videos came out like in that week. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been fine. But like, waiting this long for a video that we pretty much already saw, you know what I mean? Like,
For a song that's kind of just there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to go number one.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I will say that. But, like, I don't know, girly. I don't know. And then apparently there's, as I told you, there's, like, those alleged Easter eggs for other music videos. Some people are saying the Weatherman is, like, a sign for Midnight Rain, but also for Karma and, like, Maroon and Mastermind. And it's like, I think if she had videos banked and ready to go, they would have been in the trailer. I don't understand why they wouldn't have been. And also, she keeps hinting at Speak Now in all of these visuals. Every single visual from Midnights has hinted at Speak Now, which signals to me that, like, she's ready to move on visually to the next project and that she's, like, done with Midnights. I mean, the other eras, like Folklore and Evermore, literally got one music video. Lover got four. So I think three, like, I guess we could get one more, but I don't see there being six more music videos to come. And if there are, please, why? Why?
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you really want to see, like, 10 more music videos from Midnights? I don't.
Like, not I'd rather like that. We go. Not in the way that they're being done right now.
No. I mean, it's just not. It's not interesting. It's not. I there's other more interesting things going on in the world, like Speak Now TV. And I think we should talk about that. Did you see there was, like, a rumor going around that she has, like, a short film for Speak Now as well? I don't know if I mean, I've always felt like Speak Now and Red are sort of intrinsically linked. So, like, if she did do another short film, I think it would be for Speak Now. But it would surprise me. I have to be honest with you. Like, putting that much effort again into another short film, I think it would just be fan service. I don't think she would be trying to, like, get an Oscar. Like, I suspect that she was for All Too Well 10. I mean, I would like to see it, but it's like, what song would it... It would not be for Dear John. I can tell you that right the fuck now. If it were, I would be
amazed. And every delusional idiot that thinks it is, is wrong. If anything, it's going to be enchanted, and it's going to be something stupid and fairy tale-y. That's what it's like. That to me, that seems that's what it would be. I'm not against stupid and fairy tale-y because that's so canonical. But the way that she did the fairy tale thing in Bejeweled, like with the
worst possible dress she could have found for the princess look. It's like, what are we doing here? And she did her hair in that.
About the Wonderstruck commercial? Can we have that? That's a short film. That's in the vault. Can we get...
Exactly.
Back to my mind. So
we want that.
That is gorgeous. And you know why it's beautiful? Because Taylor Swift didn't direct it. That's why it's gorgeous. And I mean, this is the thing Madeline and I were talking about off air. And this we'll probably talk more about this behind the paywall because we can be freer from the snails who want to destroy us. But in general... Taylor's aesthetic, visually, is not good. She has moments, but those moments are few and far between. And she doesn't really have, a visual style or, a taste that's clear. And, I mean, if the All Too Well short film is the latest indication of, what her artistic filmmaking looks like, to me, it's nothing special. Like, it was shot on film. It was nice, but there's not a Taylor Swift uniqueness to it. And I really don't mean that to be a hater because we just get accused of being haters all the time. I just genuinely looking at the material, looking back through the catalog at all her music videos, everyone that she's directed or had a hand in the concept or the treatment of, it's just she has maybe four or five amazing music videos and then she just has music videos and then a couple flops, but there's not... Like, if you told me, who's an artist that has really great visuals all the time? Even Lana has a taste. She has that DIY, I'm filming on my phone, whatever the fuck it is. But it's a thing. It's a style that she has. To me, Taylor doesn't have a discernible, footprint that she leaves on her visuals. And that makes me concerned for, her capacity to be a filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole core of the issue. I feel like people don't think about it that way. I think people think, oh, the Lavender Haze video looked nice. Oh, All Too Well 10 looked nice. But it's what is the thing that makes it clearly a Taylor Swift visual? Nothing. No point of view. It has no point of view. There's no point of view.
That's what it is.
Because she did not... I don't know what's so wrong with saying that she's not a filmmaker. She's not. She is not a filmmaker. I mean, I know they're like, you know, she's... She wants it, which is fine. Whatever. She can do it all she wants. I'm not here to tell her that she can't. I'm just saying that when people who know a lot more about film than myself or Zach or Taylor say that it isn't good, I don't think the thing to do is to go with pitchforks and flames to their house and burn them down, which I think is going to happen when this alleged film comes out. They would know more than you or I or Taylor, and they're allowed to say that it's shit. Because it probably, it could be enjoyable, it could be entertaining, it could be fun, it could be cute, but is it good? I mean...
Well, this is the problem with her entering... Yeah, let me ask... Well, the audience is going to say she's a queen and everything she does is amazing. The amount of comments that I got on my YouTube video of my reaction to Lavender Haze being this is the most amazing, iconic, incredible, oh my God, this is a God tier. And it's you guys, just because she looks pretty and it's colorful doesn't mean that it's, good. And the music video is fine. It's good to look at. I liked to watch it. Will I be returning to it? Is there anything to chew on? Is there anything interesting in it? No. Let's just be honest here. And that is how people are going to receive her film eventually when it comes out. And you're right, Madeline. They're going to come with their fucking pitchforks. And newsflash to the people that do that, that doesn't help Taylor. That doesn't make Taylor enter the film industry with ease. It makes it harder for her, actually. Because Taylor can take constructive criticism. She really listens to people when they give her, look at all of her albums and how often she's incorporated and listened to feedback and, you know, made amazing adjustments. If people are scared to criticize her in public, she's never going to know that what she's doing is not that good. And then she's never going to get better. This is the issue.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, the yes men that she surrounds herself with. You know, to me, I feel like Jack is a yes man. I think that Todrick is definitely a yes man. You know, all her little, minions
Dylan
are
yes
men. Tillin is the number one yes man, because he doesn't know anything. He just goes, sure, okay, that's great. He has no thoughts in his head, so he's a yes man.
Nothing to add,
Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, useless, fucking useless. All of them are useless. Useless. The only person who I feel actually guides her on a path that is correct and sort of, like, steers her is Aaron Dessner. Where's he? Has anybody seen him lately? Like, where is he?
Out of the picture. Well, she needs the filling of that to guide her through this.
Picture.
Literally.
Yeah,
she's doing the National song coming up. That'll be good.
Oh, that's true. Aaron Dessner, he lives on. But I still can't believe they did a what is it called? Directors on Directors. It's like...
Unbelievable.
I don't get it.
How is she going to talk for an hour about film? She has one film, and can I stress to you that it's a music video? It's not a film.
It hurts me when you see the fucking Swifties... The Swifties sitting around talking about, Taylor has been working on sets for years. She's been doing this, that. It's just like, okay, yeah, music video sets. And the occasional cameo in New Girl. That's not the same thing as making a movie. It's not the same. It's just not the same.
Well, also, I mean, we have to also have a little bit of Taylor said this herself in her TIFF talk, that when she's working on a music video, the process of doing that is, yes, she's in charge and she's directing, but it's not hard for her. Like, she doesn't storyboard it. She doesn't, like, write the treatment. She has other people helping her do that. I think when you're directing a film, you're way more hands-on with that kind of stuff. So that, I think she maybe tried her hand with a little bit more with All Too Well. But just because she's been on the set, like you said, Madeline, of music videos, doesn't mean that she knows her way around creating a feature film. It's actually really, like, it's, to me, it seems like a really hard thing to do, to capture people's attention for that length of time. Also, the evidence that we have of Taylor Swift writing dialogue, my babes,
zero.
It's not good.
It's zero. It is, she did not write the dialogue in All Too Well.
But she did write the dialogue in the Antihero music video and in the Bejeweled music video. And let's ask the audience, was that good? Look deep into your heart and just ask yourself, was it good? No. You can't say that it was. It was nothing. It was nothing. And, like, Taylor is funny, but all of her communication comes across best in song. That's truly where she, like, is at her most extraordinary. And I worry for her that she would come across as annoying in a feat. Like, her writing style would come across as, like, irritating, which is why I would love to see her go the rom-com route and do something, like, lighthearted, silly, funny, something about love. She knows that topic really well. I don't want to see her doing, like, a gritty Searchlight pick, which is what it seems like she's trying to do. We don't need Taylor Swift, the A24 version. I don't want that.
And even, I just feel like Joe Alwyn is, like, in the background, like, completely cheerleading this whole entire thing, which I think is delusional.
She's like, can I have a starring role, babe?
For
Christmas, can I have a starring role in your movie?
That's the only way he's ever going to get one. I can tell you that. Okay, I'm going to reject that. I mean, that was mean, but...
Redacted.
I mean,
I don't know. Well, God bless him.
I don't know.
Good luck to you.
God bless him on his journey. I don't even know. I've never seen him act. I don't know. I've tried, but I can't do it. So I can't take him serious. But that's not his fault. That's not his fault. It's Taylor's fault, 100%.
It's not his fault that he's Taylor's handbag. That's not his fault.
That's really not his fault.
That he's the third cat. The fourth cat.
The fourth cat,
It's Olivia, Meredith, Benjamin, and Joe. Taylor's cat. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Madeline, you missed out one not yes man, someone who keeps her honest in her life, Meredith.
Oh, yeah. Meredith has put her in her place before, scratched her to shit, lets her know what's going on.
She wakes up every morning and says, you are nothing, bitch. You're not from Nashville. You're from Pennsylvania. Yeah. Don't you ever forget
Everybody
it.
Knows that your country accent was fake.
Everyone knows. And also, your boyfriend's boring. I would love to get one of her cats on the pod. Meredith, preferably. Like, she has a lot to say.
Preferably.
Meredith has seen a lot, too. Meredith was born in the Speak Now era. She has
seen a lot of shit. Yeah, she's seen a lot of shit.
She's seen a lot of private moments between Taylor and some crazy-ass men. We need to see.
The things that cat knows, we need to get her on the air. Absolutely, immediately.
There's a reason why Taylor keeps her locked away, private. Why there are always rumors about her being dead. She doesn't want to let her out. She's scared.
Wasn't she at a secret session until she, like, attacked somebody, and then she wasn't allowed to come into the secret session anymore?
Yes, I asked.
That was one of my favorite things that's ever happened. But Olivia was like always there. Typically.
Olivia's sweet, but then someone at my session was allergic to cats. Fuck you, bitch, whoever you are. I'm also allergic to cats, and I didn't make a big deal about it. I wanted to keep the cats from my picture, and this cunt was like...
I don't think I ever... What? She ruined it for everybody. If I was allergic to cats, I wouldn't care. I'd still want to meet the cat. That's a famous cat.
I'm allergic to cats, and I was like, where's Meredith? I want her to scratch my face off. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if I got a pic where, like, I'm smiling with Taylor and Meredith's like,
yes, that would be the best picture ever.
This girl, and they were in the building. They were upstairs. Taylor was like, oh, they're upstairs in my room. And I was like, get them, free them. Free Meredith, please. This is the free Meredith movement. And, of course, we had the dog. The dog was there for, like, 2 seconds, but it got too excited.
Who? Kitty? The big dog?
Yeah, Kitty. Andrea's dog. The horse. Mm-hmm. She was really
excited. That dog was there?
And also, she's too big to be excited. She's Andrea's dog, yeah.
I cannot believe that dog was there. You never told me that. That's crazy. I don't like that dog.
It was there.
It's too big. Like, I don't... Yeah, I don't like dogs like that.
It's very big. And it was getting excited, so it was, like... jumping and
like, oh, I was going crazy.
Doing that. while we're doing like a single file line, like jail cell inmates into the living room with the security, like, move, keep it moving. We're walking through a living room. Kitty's like, screaming, jumping around.
I never heard about this part of the session. Oh, I would have given anything to have been there. That would have absolutely killed me. Fucking Kitty going ballistic. Was anybody corralling her at all, or...?
Yeah, they took... there was, like, one of the Taylor Nation people who had obviously never interacted with this dog before was like, Kitty, stop! Like, this dog's a horse, basically.
Stop!
The dog's, like,
Kitty!
Jumping like
you
and
can't,
running.
You gotta...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you gotta grab it, and you gotta drag it out of there. And I think that's eventually what happened. You don't get to, like, stop and smell the roses, right? They're, like, whipping you with a chain. They're like, keep moving. Like, you're literally, like, cows in a dairy farm lining up to get milked. I've had a secret session.
Some
other Taylor topics that we can get into. Should we... Okay, Madeline, I'll let you choose. What do you want to do? Do you want to talk about the Ticketmaster drama, or do you want to do our 5 Taylor songs that are in rotation?
Ticketmaster.
Because we're always ready. We're always ready to fucking attack.
Yeah, we're always ready for that. Yep.
So if you weren't around this past week, which you definitely were, because you're all as terminally online as we are, the congressman of the United States of America decided, you know what? We got to get those big ass bitches into this courtroom and see what's going on. They sat Ticketmaster down and said, James, what was that?
James.
And the response from Ticketmaster was, we like the beat. They were like,
literally.
Yeah, Jen. Bots, scalpers, Taylor Swift tickets, expensive. Time-changing. Technological failure. Demand.
Yeah, but demand. High demand.
Taylor Swift,
period.
Big star.
Yeah.
Big star, yeah. Taylor.
Many concert.
Added more concerts, still many million people.
Yeah.
They flopped. And it, you know what? This just shows Taylor Swift's power because what can you think of an issue that has had bipartisan agreement over the last 5 years?
No. The girlies are sick of it. All the girlies everywhere. Evil girlies. Middle of the road girlies. Less evil girlies on the other side, etc., etc. Everybody has agreed Ticketmaster has to go down. And I feel like the thing
go
that
to the
I don't...
Tour. They all want to go.
Right. They all want to be at the Eras Tour. They all want to be at the Eras Tour. But it's interesting to me because I haven't sat and watched these, you know, I haven't, you know, watched the live stream or anything like that. I've only seen clips. But it's like, I'm not really hearing anybody, like, giving a solution. Have you seen it? Like, what is the solution to, like, just, like, Ticketmaster is no longer allowed to have a monopoly? But, like, what does that look like? What does that mean?
I can tell you.
Is kind of...
I did a little bit of research into that. So basically what they would need to do to break up the Ticketmaster monopoly, the issue is that Ticketmaster and Live Nation merged, right? So they have like many different arms of control. And the deal of the merger was that Ticketmaster can't pressure, Live Nation can't pressure the people that do events with them to use Ticketmaster as a service. But when there's no viable competitor, that makes it really difficult. So the ultimate goal to fix this problem would be some antitrust regulations, which would forcibly break up Ticketmaster and Live Nation into like smaller independent entities. And then that would theoretically allow for more competition to emerge on the market because they wouldn't be able to monopolize the like entire market share. The problem with that is that like there has not, I don't think there really has been an antitrust case in the last 15 years that has actually succeeded. They've been trying to do this to Google and to Facebook for so long, and it doesn't, like, it hasn't worked. So these congressional hearings are like, it's literally political theater. Like, they sit them down and they're like, this is really wrong. Don't you think? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, it's me? Hi, I'm the problem, it's me. And it's literally like so fucking humiliating to see elected representatives sitting there reading Taylor Swift lyrics off of their like prepared document for a congressional hearing. It's humiliating.
Well, to me, this is like the main difference between Swifty derogatory and Swifty ironic, is that fucking, you know, Swifty derogatory, these people are clamoring, they are loving, they are clapping for, you know, people who have, you know, done things that, you know, I'll leave it at aren't very cool, I'll say that, you know, things that, you know, the Queen even would disagree with, et cetera, et cetera. They are cheering for these scallywags that work in political office, which I don't think, personally for me, I don't think there's a single individual who works in the American political offices anywhere, in any county, in any state, in any part of this country that is, like, a good human being. So it's like, I'm not gonna clap for these people just because they said, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. I don't understand it. It's funny, I'll give you that. It cracks me up because it's so...
laughing at you, not with you.
I'm laughing at you, I'm not laughing with you. So it's like, it's weird to me to see, like, people, like, I mean, Democrats and Republicans, you know, we're talking about a difference of, like, maybe, like, this much, really, but it's, like, weird to me to see people, like, you know, finger-banging Republicans because they said, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. It's like, you know,
it's sad, it's pathetic.
It's humiliating.
Lose, stay losing. And, I mean, let's talk about the Swifties that were outside the courthouse. My favorite detail from the reports was that there were eight Swifties. Eight Swifties.
Yep.
We couldn't even get to double digits. And one of them was an older lady. And her sign said, "Dear reader, when you aim at the Swifties, make sure you don't miss." And it's like...
She was like 40 years old.
It's humiliating.
She was 40. Old to be doing that.
I mean, we don't have many better things to do than that, and yet still we can find other... I could go to the nail salon. I could get stoned to go to the nail salon. I could go to the Meta Music Business Conference. You know, there are things to do that are not standing outside Capitol Hill. I mean, you know what, though? Maybe Demi was really inspiring the Swifties. Demi said, take it to Capitol Hill, and the Swifties
said,
take it to Capitol Hill,
and they did. And the eight Swifties, they did. They took it to Capitol Hill. Good for them.
As Taylor's emissaries, they literally were fun. They were the ambassadors of the Taylor Nation, showing up to the Capitol building and making our interests known. So, I mean, I guess, you know, everybody needs a diplomat. I would just like to say that that's not my president. Not my Swiftie. Not my La Nación.
No, not my Swifties. Not my president. Not my anything. Mm-hmm. Like, all of this is so far out of the realm of what I consider to be, you know,
normal behavior.
Worthwhile. I'll say that. It's not worthwhile. And exactly like Zach said, I really, like, I genuinely don't think that anything is actually going to come from this. I don't, I mean, maybe if as some might minuscule, something minuscule, some bullshit. And it's like, I mean, it, I will say that it is getting worse. Like, every single concert. I mean, now how the hell is Gracie Abrams, you're a Gracie Abrams fan, good for you. I mean, God bless you on your journey, oh baby girl. You are in a crowd of, I would say, 20,000 people at most. And none of these bitches can get tickets through Ticketmaster to go see Gracie Abrams? I find that interesting. I find that really, really interesting. What is going on? Like, I mean, is it really just scalpers and bots? But it's like, why is it such a problem now? That's what I don't understand.
Next up, it's like, it's Trisha Paytas. 100 show tour date sold out in 2 seconds. Like, honey,
yeah.
Really? unprecedented, overwhelming demand.
It's like, who is scalping these tickets? Who is scalping Gracie Abrams tickets? I mean, it was the same for Olivia Rodrigo, too.
Yeah, but Olivia, she had really high demand.
I mean, that's like the main thing. Was like that to me was just bad planning more on her team's part than on Ticketmaster. But I mean, Ticketmaster was gobbling it up, and you know they were. They were loving it. They were loving it. Scalp, scalp, scalp.
Well, to answer your question about like what can be done again, I mean, in this scenario, the Swifties doing their fucking frivolous lawsuit that's not going to get them anywhere and is going to waste their money, and the long and never-ending congressional hearings that will result in no effective antitrust court rulings, you know who could step in here and make some sort of a back-end deal that could change circumstances for the rest of the industry? I wonder if there's a celebrity whose name this was all done in service of, who has a huge tour and much business to be giving them over the coming years, and, you know, probably the only person that's powerful enough to bend the ear of this massive monopoly. I wonder who that is.
But she's not saying a word. She has not said a word. Silence.
Speak never.
Not she. I'm literally. She has released a Lavender Haze music video to distract, to deflect, to take attention away. It's literally like she's waving her arms and going, look over here, look over here, look over here.
I'm vaping.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm vaping. Hello. I'm smoking weed. Hello. It's me. I'm Taylor.
And you know what? I'm sorry. At this stage, a fucking Instagram story doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it. And she said literally nothing else. And it's like, are we just going to literally pretend? She was like, damn, happy for you or sorry that happened. And that's it.
You know,
see you at tour.
Literally something that somebody at the Meta Music Business Conference said that I thought was pretty interesting when she was saying, like, you know, she tends to respond to things on Instagram stories, and I find that really interesting. And I was just like, I guess I've never thought about that before, but
yeah,
that is
so
really
true.
Interesting. Because, I mean, we can screen cap it, you know, this, that, and the other thing, but it doesn't sit in existence. It goes away.
Well, we're
it's kind of like
also
Snapchatting.
We're mentally ill. Yes, we're mentally ill, so
right.
We remember it.
Nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is...
No one else
nobody
is
else is screen capping the shit. I mean, it's just us, we, the Swifties. The only people who, you know, will live in her asshole and do everything that she wants us to do. And say, yes, queen, say more.
And she only
I thought
did
that,
that
was really interesting.
She was getting eaten the fuck up. She really was getting eaten the fuck up. If she could have gotten away with not addressing it, I really think that she wouldn't have, because at the end of the day, she reached her goal. Her goal was to become a billionaire with this tour, and like the tour sold out, and she got to charge basically, I mean, okay, maybe the dynamic pricing didn't go up into double-digit thousands of dollars, but it definitely was like taking advantage of people that were desperate for a scarce model of whatever it was they
right.
were selling.
Exactly.
So it's like, I don't know. And it is interesting because I think this happens a lot now that I think about it with Taylor, the story thing. Do you remember when the Scooter Braun stuff happened and Ariana Grande posted that Insta story where she was like, I tried to talk to him about it. I don't like, I'm in such a shitty situation. I really feel for you, Taylor. I love you. And then she was like, I'll delete this in a minute. She literally deleted it a minute later. And I feel like nobody remembers that. But she did it. So it's like, if you want to pull it up and say, like, Ariana supports Taylor, you can pull it up. But it's not there. Therefore, it kind of didn't happen. Like, Ariana didn't
It disappears. And it's like, because
by doing it. It's so weird.
The other thing is that, like, with stories, and like, yes, you can take a screen cap of it. But, like, when there's no footprint, when there's no record of it other than a screen cap that some deranged Swiftie has, like, I mean, for all anybody knows, you could have just made that up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is recent enough
Taylor
that people
like,
are like, no, that happened. Well, ask about it in 5 years and see if anybody still has that screen cap. And if they do, it's probably hard to find. It's
well,
not the same as posting
they're
a
remember,
post.
They'll remember that the tour was amazing, and that's it.
Right.
There will be a Netflix
right.
special. Everybody will go, yes, queen, and Taylor will be completely absolved of any responsibility. And it's like, I do wonder if this is part of the holdup with the international tour dates, because if she uses Ticketmaster and it goes like this again, that's going to bring a lot more negative attention that she barely escaped this time around.
Right.
So it's like, I do wonder if she's trying to see if there's a way she can do it without them. But let me tell you, Ticketmaster has even come to the shores of Singapore. And we used to have our own, like, really robust ticketing services here, like two separate ones. And now Ticketmaster is, like, the law of the land. And they are doing the same shit that they do in the States here. And it's in Ireland, too. So, like, any way that I see a Taylor show, I'm going to have to go through Ticketmaster for sure. And I don't know. I don't know if, like, is Taylor trying to, like, stall that? Is she maybe even considering postponing stuff to see if she can figure out what's going to come next. Who knows? And I guess this can lead us into our next segment, which is Loser of the Week, which is where Madeline and I each pick a loser of the week, someone who sucks and we think lost this week. So my loser for the week is Taylor Swift. And Taylor Swift is...
And for all the reasons that we just stated.
Literally. No, but specifically, I have a specific reason. Specifically, Taylor Swift is the loser of the week because there's no international tour dates. It's been like 87 days since she said international dates as soon as we can, and there has been fucking nothing since. And it's like, I need to plan my life. Like, this is not a joke. This is my life. I have to make plans. I have to get tickets. If she's not coming to Asia, I have to fly somewhere. I can't just whoop, drop that, go to London tomorrow. No, I need to like make a plan. I have a job. I have to, these things cost money. The tickets are going to be so expensive. Like, Taylor, I don't need you to tell me exactly when tickets are going to go on sale. I just need a date. Give me a fucking date. Tell me when. And I know that she's planning. I know that she's holding dates in various places. And I know that she has stuff on the cards. We found out that she's coming to Brazil. We also found out that she might be going to London in August. When I'm going to London in June and can't go back in August. I mean, it's just, it's, at this point, you know how I've always been saying, like, it's not your human right to go to a Taylor Swift tour. I take it back. It's my human right. I have, what is the Eras tour without the Swiftologist? What? How can it happen? I have to go. I have to report. I'm a journalist. I have to show up. And I have to say,
this is work. Well, that's what I feel. That's exactly how I feel about the Seattle date. Let me tell you something. It's a business expense. It is part of the Men in Music Business Conference. And I'll be damned. I will be goddamned. It's like people never understand. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know if I've told you this, but I was planning to quit my job actually in December. And then I bought Eras Tour tickets. And now I'm going to Seattle. And now I cannot. So I literally postponed getting out of the box just to go to this tour. And I tell people that. And they're like, why didn't you just not buy tickets? And I was just like, what?
That's not a fucking option,
That's not my reality. No. You don't understand. That's not my reality.
That's not my truth.
That will never be my reality. And I feel like maybe, if this was just a Midnight's tour, it's hard for me to imagine, but I might have said, maybe I'll skip this one. But it's like the Eras tour, I have to go. Sorry. Like, I have to be there.
Yeah, literally.
It's not fair. You know,
but I see what you mean. Like, I wasn't planning to go to Loverfest. I wasn't planning to go. There were only a couple of dates and it didn't coincide with anything I had planned. So I just didn't get tickets and I wasn't that sad about it. I was going to maybe try and go to Glastonbury, I think, but like, I wasn't really planning to go to one of the Loverfest dates and I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that sad. The Eras tour, it literally fills me with the biggest rage to think of the fact and to think of all the flops and haters and fucking losers that are going to get to go to this
show. You should not be allowed. If you have not been a fan for every single, not even, okay, if you're a new fan, that's fine. But if you were a hater during any era, you are not allowed to go. And I think that's fair. New fans, fine. Come on in. Come on down. But maybe. Haters, if not you were a hater, if you were a hater, you have to give your tickets away to true fans. Those are the rules. Those are the rules.
And end your life in that order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We have people like that girl who hosts Celebrity Memoir Book Club. I don't know if you know about this girl. I think her name's Claire or something. But she constantly says the most fucked up shit about Taylor. Like, nasty ass stuff. But she's like, I'm a Swiftie. What? And I guess some people have that perspective on us about
what does she
Taylor.
Say?
She says, like, actual mean things. She'll be like, Taylor's a bad person. She's evil. Like, she's evil. Like, she'll really go ham on her. And we don't say that shit. I know some of you think that we're like the biggest haters in the world, but truly it comes from love. It really does. Like, if somebody we can come after Taylor. If someone else comes after Taylor, bitch, you're dead. You died. You passed away. You're not getting past us. We are the attack dogs. We're the hounds. Whether we like it or not, we're part of the hounds. This girl, and she also was a hater for many years, and she got Eras Tour tickets. And she's, like, talking about how much she hates Taylor, and then she's like, also, I'm going to MetLife. And people are going sicko mode in her comments. And
well, why don't... But you're going to get jumped at MetLife. You're going to get jumped at MetLife. I honestly think I'm going to get jumped at Seattle. Oh, it's going to be delicious. You know, once they see somebody, you know, loading up for their seventh Eras Tour show, oh, baby, they're going to be cooked. Goodbye. And, you know, honestly, I'm not helping them.
I can think of a few people.
There's a very, you know,
that we know that are going
to
be.
Speaking of, it's like, I don't mind, like, if you have tickets to 8 shows, like, that's between you and God and your credit card and, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. At this point, fuck it. But I really can't stand the stop being poor mentality around it. Like, people have said some of the most heinous things about, like, why if you don't have, you know, sorry, you don't have tickets, it's not my problem, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I mean, it's not
You're
their
poor.
Problem. You're jealous. You don't have any friends. That's personally my favorite. If you couldn't get tickets to 6 Eras Tour shows, it's because you don't have the friends to get multiple codes. It's like, no,
that
no.
Makes sense.
Nobody is realizing that there is a very huge socio-economical reason for why many, many people cannot get tickets to 8 shows. And
money.
Everybody, I don't know
money.
Where the money is coming from. People have told me, oh,
well,
I just went into credit card debt. And it's like, but even your ability to go, to just be able to go into credit card debt, and it doesn't matter, that is, in and of itself, like,
yeah.
That's crazy. Anyway, I could rant and rave about this all day, but it's just like, I don't care if you're going to fucking 8 shows at this point, but it's like, you need to not act like it's not, like, something that a middle-class to rich
person
does. Well, yeah, I mean, that too. I mean, I don't know where the money comes from. That's all I'm saying. I don't know where the money comes from. I mean, I'm working all the fucking time, and I don't have that money.
It
is. It's
inaccessible. At this point, yeah. The nosebleeds, they go so fast. And then also the problem is that the nosebleeds weren't just going fast. They were also going for double the advertised price during the sale. So
I was told
the amount of people that got to have their affordable nosebleeds were very few.
I was told that to sit in the sky at fucking Lumen Field in Seattle was $79. I would happily pay $79 to sit in the sky because my seat at night one is kind of a side view, which is fine. I'm not complaining about it at all, but, like, I would have liked to have got a nosebleed so to sit back and, like, see, like, the whole thing. You know what I mean? Barely see anything, but at least I'd see the whole show, the stage, etc. I mean, but it's like I literally cannot. It's not fiscally possible. So it's kind of crazy to me the number of people who have, like, floor to, like, 4 nights. It's like, with whose money,
yeah.
Dude? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It blows my freaking mind.
Well,
we
know how this is going to go. They're going to pack in, like, crackhead sardines into a Holiday Inn, 17 people to a room. They're going to order McDonald's 3 times a day. They're going to take a couple Jello shots, show up at the Eras Tour, make TikToks, and wear tulle and headbands.
And that's their right.
And then they will go home, back to the Holiday
and
Inn.
And I will simply be having the time of my life on vacation, eating at Michelin star restaurants, and doing food
with
tours and drinking
boy.
A lot of coffee in a decent hotel without 10 other girls there where everybody's fighting the entire time. Not me.
I know. And it's like, I don't want to live in squalor to see Taylor Swift. I'm sorry. I don't.
No.
I love her, but I don't want it that bad. I would rather have a really good ticket to one show or even 2 shows and, like, slay and live my best life rather than have like weird tickets for every single show that I have to scam my way into. That's another thing that if you haven't been at a tour before that you're going to experience is the levels of scamming and
scams.
I mean, girl bossing sometimes.
Scams.
Yeah.
That
people that don't get tickets that are anywhere near the floor are front row at fucking B stage. Let me tell you that. They get onto the floor. I've seen it happen with my own 2 eyes. It happens. And to be honest, I respect that. The Anna Delvey of it all, we love the scamming. We love scamming.
Well, I mean, the scam, it's not part of my life. And it's like, you know, I keep, where's my karmic reward for never having scammed literally anybody? I've never scammed a single person in my life. And these fucking scammers, this is why I start to believe that karma literally is not my boyfriend, is not a cat, none of this. It's not even real. Because the shit that I've seen people pull that they get rewarded for is insane. Like, it's like, I don't even understand. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to live my life. Well, I would argue the only time that I ever was really like, holy shit, is when you scammed those Russian girls or whoever at 1989. That was in cold blood. And
that was murder.
That was fucking crazy.
That was murder. It was. That was a really homicide. I mean, it was. We have to wrap it up very shortly because Madeline and I have to attend one of the Men in Music Business Conference gatherings. There are multiple And we shan't get into it, but Madeline, would you like to wrap it up with your loser of the week? You have 2 minutes to explain who your loser of the week is.
I can't do that. I'm sorry. It's too much. So, Taylor Swift is the loser of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Period.
Period. She's done a lot of wrong things, like not tell us when Speak Now is coming, et cetera, et cetera. So the next Patreon-exclusive episode is going to be voicemails, where we take your voicemails and answer your questions. We didn't have time to get to it today, but we will absolutely be doing that. We have some great questions from you guys that we're excited to answer. And yeah, just stay tuned. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/swiftologist and sign up for the $6 a month. Promise you, you're going to get your money's worth. And there will be a couple of other tiers if you're interested in checking that out. And also, you know, the higher tiers will get access to video episodes as well. We might drop one for the $6 tier every now and again as a little treat, as a little morsel, a little something, something. But yes, we will be seeing you in the next episode. And we can't wait to share with you, hopefully sometime soon, what the fucking Men in Music Business Conference actually is.